Senate would come to order. Chief Clerk would call the roll.
Roll call for Monday, February 22nd. Anderson?
Here.
Bebout?
Here.
Burns?
Here.
Case?
Here.
Coe?
Here.
Cooper?
Here.
Dockstader?
Here.
Elliott?
Here.
Esquibel?
Here.
Geis?
Here.
Hastert?
Here.
Honeycutt?
Here.
Jennings?
Here.
Johnson?
Here.
Landon?
Here.
Larson?
Here.
Martin?
Here.
Massey?
Here.
Meyer?
Meyer
S.
Here.
Nicholas.
Here.
Perkins.
Here.
Peterson.
Here.
Ross.
Here.
Schiffer.
Here.
Scott.
Here.
Sessions.
Here.
Townsend.
Here.
Bonflatern.
Here.
President Hines.
Here.
30 present.
Read this morning by Pastor Nelson.
Well, I don't know if you're like me, but this weekend I had kind of an adventure in the snow. That snow comes down, it gets in your way, slows things down for us. It was a four-hour trip home from Casper instead of three. And I know sometimes that snow comes down and we can complain and whine because you got to shovel it and it gets icy and it gets wet and all of that. And I got to thinking this morning, snow is water and water is life. And man, I like that life. In this state, we got a great state, and to have that life all around us and remind us how important it is. It's just, we're funny people, aren't we? We get that blessing, and then sometimes we complain and whine about it at the same time. And so maybe we got to think sometimes about what we complain about, because it's a gift at the same time. God, we thank you that you put up with us sometimes and you bless us. And I thank you that we live where we do and that we do get snow and wind and sun and rain. And we are fortunate people. Thank you for all that you give to us. Forgive us when we complain about your gifts. Make us wise as we lead people. I pray, Lord, this day for this group of men and women that they would be smart and lead this state in good ways. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Reading. Will the reading clerk please read the Journal Committee report?
Mr. President, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February the 19th, 2010, has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Dockstader, Chairman.
Are there any objections? There being none, the report is adopted. Doctor of the Day, David Guida, M.D. from Cheyenne, and the Nurse for the Day of Rebecca Rutar, Ivinson Memorial Hospital. Thank you. Thought for the day, winning is not everything, but making the worth the effort to win is. Senator Martin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, may I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
Thank you. Mr. President, today I have an honor, a great honor, to introduce some very good friends of mine from Rock Springs, Frank and Norma Previdel. Frank served 14 years on this floor in Senate District 12, and it's just great to see him here. And please give him a welcome. He's sitting over here to my left.
Welcome, Senator Previdel. And as a former member, would you like to have the privilege of the floor? Would you like to have the privilege of the floor? Turn on Senator Massey's mic. Oh.
Okay, get the mouse waver to
Senator Von Platerin.
Thank you, Mr. President. May I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
Well, it's an important day here for very important people to come join us. I have the honor today to introduce the Dixon family. On this date, February 22nd, 50 years ago, in 1960, the trucking firm Dixon Brothers Incorporated began doing business. The company was formed by Jim Dixon as a sole proprietorship. One employee, one truck, and one customer, and that customer is still with them today, 50 years later. As the business grew, Jim brought his brother Jerry in. Jerry, who several of you may, or several of the older members may remember, served in the Senate from 83 to 94 and was president of the Senate from 93 to 94. Jim's here with his wife, Catherine, who helped out in the office during the early days. They now operate 100 trucks and 300 trailers, hauling gasoline, diesel, propane, jet fuel, cement, asphalt, and chemicals. The company has terminals in Cheyenne, Casper, Gillette, Sheridan, headquarters in Newcastle, as well as terminals in Billings, Great Falls, Rapid City, Sydney, Nebraska, Mandan, and Fargo, North Dakota, and in one in Minnesota. They employ 139 people, 107 of those being Wyoming employees. With the passing of Jerry in July of 2002, Jim purchased Jerry's share of the business, and today the business run by Jim's family, which includes three children, three grandchildren, and a son-in-law. With us today in the South Gallery is Chairman of the Board of Dixon Brothers, Jim Dixon, his wife, Catherine, their daughter, Suzette Dixon Miller, who's Secretary Treasurer, their son, Jimmy Dixon, who now serves as CEO and Vice President, and his wife, Sandra. Would you please welcome an old long
Welcome to the Senate, members of the Dixon family. We're glad to have you, and we're glad to have your business in Wyoming. Senator Townsend.
Thank you, Mr. President. May I have the privilege of the floor?
You may.
This is a wonderful day. We have today my daughter, her husband, and my wife in the North Gallery. My daughter was here when I was... initiated, there you go. But I'd like to have the Senate welcome Kara, Pat, and Tony. Here, stand up.
Welcome to the Senate. We're glad to have you visit and hope you enjoy your day here. Introduction, reading, and references of bills. Senate File 1, first reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 1, sponsored by the Appropriation Committee, General Government Appropriations, an act to make appropriations for the biennium commencing July 1st, 2010, and ending June 30th, 2012.
Pursuant to Joint Rule 14-1B2, Senate File 1 is referred directly to the Committee of the Whole. House Bills and First Reading. House Bill 20, First Reading of the Bill.
House Bill 20, sponsored by Representative Bagby, Criminal Street Gangs, and Act Relating to Crimes and Offenses. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 47, noes 11, excuse 2.
House Bill 20 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. House Bill 61, first reading of the bill.
House Bill 61, sponsored by Representative Throne, Legal Services Funding, and Act Relating to Indigenous Civil Legal Services.
House Bill 61 is assigned to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. House Bill 44, first reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 44, sponsored by Representative Illoway, Taxation of Property Used for Economic Development, an act relating to taxation and revenue.
House Bill 44 is referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. House Bill 109, first reading of the bill.
House Bill 109, sponsored by Representative Hammonds. Compulsory School Attendance 3, an act relating to compulsory school attendance. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 49, noes 9, excused 2.
House Bill 109 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. House Bill 18, first reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 18, sponsored by the Travel Committee. Aquatic Invasive Species 2, an act relating to game and fish. It was passed the House on third reading in an amended form. Ayes 47, noes 11, excused 2.
House Bill 18 is referred to Committee Number 6, Travel. House Bill 15, first reading of the bill.
House Bill 15, sponsored by the Corporations Committee, Electrical Safety and Fire Prevention Revisions, and Act Relating to Electrical Safety and Fire Prevention. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 52, noes 5, excused 1, conflict 1.
House Bill 15 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. House Bill 57, first reading of the bill.
House Bill 57, sponsored by Representative Stubson, Damage to Underground Public Utilities, an act relating to underground public utilities. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 53, noes 5, excused 2.
House Bill 57 is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. Bills on second reading. Senator Hastert.
Mr. President, may I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
Members of the Senate, joining us today over in the North Gallery are the Wyoming Association for Career and Technical Education officers. They're from all around the state, Gillette, Casper, Douglas, Cheyenne, and Moorcroft. I'd like you to welcome them to the Senate. They're up here in the North Gallery. A couple of them on the floor here, too.
Welcome to the Senate. House Bill 25, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 25, sponsored by the Judiciary Committee, liens.
There is an amendment. Reading clerk, please read in the amendment.
Senate File 25, Second Reading Amendment Number 2 to Substitute Bill Number 1, page 1, line 11.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. President, thank you. Mr. President, the second amendment to House Bill 25 and ask for favorable consideration. What this amendment does was that when it came out of here, it does three things. It looks long and arduous and it was difficult to track, but let me tell you what it does. It goes into the bill and does, I think, three substantive things. The first thing it does is it goes through and on pages 2 and 3, what was originally 29.105, which this is the language that talks between liberal construction and strict construction, and it strikes all that language. So there will be no language in there regarding liberal construction. So it takes that out. It also, if you go just a little further up on the original substitute bill, 29.104 in A, where we talk about this act superseding and replacing any liens under Wyoming common law, it strikes that language. It includes the... It includes the rest language about liens are not intended to affect or abridge those other items, but it removes that, and the reason for that is that there are a number of common law liens out there that are valid, and we don't want to do away with those and want to make sure people still have their ability to do that. The third thing that it does substantively is it takes the effective date and pushes that out a year, so the effective date would be July 1st of 2011. And the point of that being with this change in the lien law, that will give a year for people to look at it, probably some a law professor to write a scathing article criticizing it, and that then we'll have the opportunity to correct it potentially later on. The rest of it, what it did is it took some reorganization. There were in the way that the bill was put together by our LSO, it had a number of items that were only applicable to Chapter 2, which deals with construction liens, and simply pulls those back into Chapter 2. So what you have is, those are the substantive changes. Most of it just is then making all the internal cross-referencing inside the bill. It brings it up to snuff, so that because of those changes, there was a lot of cross-referencing that had to be moved around. And so with that, I think that when it comes down to it, the divisive point that was made in here was this liberal construction point, which was down the middle. And I think that if we're going to change the lien laws, we ought to have a lot more support behind that. And so in doing that, I think that this should allow almost anyone. I think this removes most of the objections that were there with respect to the bill, and we can move it forward. And I think it still continues to be a significant step forward for the lien law in the state of Wyoming, and ask for your favorable consideration on the amendment.
Discussion on the amendment. Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. President. I don't even know where to begin, and I think that's the problem. Just to express some personal frustration here, I started off with a white bill that was one of the largest ones we had for this session, a result of a 2-year interim study. Read that one. Okay, and I don't know much about liens, and so it took a while to get through that. Then we get a yellow bill. Okay, so took that home, read through that one too. 62 pages of it, sort of understood it. And now on second reading, just took this out of the folder a few minutes ago, we got a complete rewrite of a rewritten bill of a 2-year interim study. So I just want to know from the Judiciary Committee, what's going on here? Why are we getting all these changes? Didn't the interim study stick? Didn't these come up during the interim study? Give us an idea of what we're really being asked to decide here.
Further discussion on the amendment? Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. In working this through, really what happened and why we have this amendment here today is that it was the structure of the bill that became confusing. And the way in which it was drafted by LSO, and there are other liens that are out there, as the good senator from Albany County mentioned, that perhaps made it confusing as to which chapters actually applied to which liens. The intent of the committee was to deal with contractors, materialmen, and subcontractors, and try to fix that area of the lien law. When we started the project, we had LSO look at just pulling up all references to lien laws in our statutes, and there was some 3,000 different references. Became very clear that we were going to be unable to tackle all of those things. So the decision of the committee was to deal with what was most problematic, which is in the areas of contractors and mechanics liens. Well, the way in which the bill structured made it confusing as to all these other liens that are potentially out there. You have professional services kinds of liens and other liens, and the more we got into it, the more it became unclear, and was pointed out to us by the good senator from Albany County that it was not clear what applied to what. And so the reason for this change is that we wanted to kind of restructure the bill so that it was clear that we were only dealing with Chapter 2 and that these other liens that are out there, some of which may even be common law, that we weren't affecting those at this point in time. Doesn't mean that it doesn't need scrutiny, but we need a bill to get through at this point in time. And so it was more a structural kind of thing, and then you got into the issue of, with these other kinds of liens out there, should you have liberal or strict scrutiny? And we thought that ultimately, given the status of this right now, that was highly contentious, and it wasn't clear whether that would apply to other chapters also. So this is an attempt to try to ameliorate a number of those fears and also to give it better structure and make it clear that what we're dealing with is Chapter 2.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm always proud of the work that the Senate does, and I'm proud of our senators, and I do think that a lot can be said for someone that takes and tries to find an accommodation of, you know, people with different views and bring something forward that's going to be this important to Wyoming. So I do thank the senator for the extra work he's put in. I know he and the Judiciary Committee have put in a ton of effort on this, and it's not always easy, especially in the area where you know, there's common law aspects that are being codified. To me, that's a very tricky area. And it is second reading, and it's timely brought. It's second reading in the first house, and I commend the Judiciary Committee and the good senator for his work.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, the question I have is, if we pass this amendment and ultimately this legislation, the bill passes and goes into effect, what will be the law? Will liens be construed liberally or strictly? Or is that just unclear and we're going to leave it up to the judges? At this point, I'm confused on that whole point. And what does this amendment do for that?
Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. President. With regards to the issues from the good senator from over the mountain, the lien laws of Wyoming are the biggest misunderstood subject to interpretation, and they're a mess. And I commend the committee for what the work that they have done, and it is confusing. And one of the reasons that, of course, they had to get into the big amendment was the fact that many of us didn't like the construed portion. I think they've done good work. Are we going to have a perfect lien law coming out here? I don't think so. I think it's still going to be subject to a lot of interpretation, which doesn't surprise you when you get a bunch of lawyers putting anything together. But it's better. It really is better than what we have. There are some questions. I don't think that because of the way the bill was constructed, as was pointed out, it was somewhat ambiguous in some parts, and they moved it and corrected it, and I think made it better. I don't think it's perfect yet, but I admire them because that's one of the hardest things to do because the Wyoming lien law was a mess, and I appreciate their work on it.
First discussion on the amendment. Senator Perkins, for your second time.
Thank you. Mr. President, I'll just answer a couple of questions. With respect to liberal construction, any time that you have a statute that abrogate common law, which these do to some extent, now that's going to be strict construction. So you're still back under strict construction, which is the way the law has been coming into up to this point. With respect to the biggest changes here and what created the length of the bill is that the former sections 29.1.313, this is in the yellow bill, 29314, 29316, and 29317. I've got that listed wrong. It's 312, 313, and 315 only applied to Chapter 2, but they were in a provision in the Act, the way that they also constructed the bill, that would act as though it applied to all liens. And so what we did is we said, if those only apply to Chapter 2, then let's put them in Chapter 2 where they belong. And in doing that, of course, when you do that, now there's a ton of all the internal references of statutes inside the existing bill change. And so when you see that, that's why you see so much of those things where it says delete entirely, because we just took those sections and moved them back into Chapter 2. And if you look at the majority of the bill, you're deleting sections and putting in new sections. You're creating, what you're doing is just fixing the internal cross-references. And that's why the bill ended up being so long. We were changing the entire act, and so when we change, anytime you move a section or change a section number, then all the internal references have to change because there are so many within the act. When it comes down to it, if you actually hold this bill and put it up against the original one, there aren't that many changes to it. But because anytime you change one, you end up with a ripple effect through the bill. You end up, that's what happens. And I don't know any other way to fix that, but we do have. That's also one of the reasons for the late effective date is this is going to change some things in Wyoming, and this will give people a chance to see it and get used to it. And if we have messed up, it can be pointed out, and we'll have the opportunity to correct it before it goes into effect. But and we apologize for the confusion. But we had, the last answer to the question was, we had done this, we worked on it for 2 years, we've had numerous committee meetings on it, and then 2 weeks before the session, there were a number of issues that came up from a number of different groups that hadn't been considered. And we took their points into consideration, tried to accommodate as much as we could, because we thought it was important, Mr. President, to get it right, not just to get it. And so that's been the process, and that's been the attempt that we've tried to follow going through here. And again, would ask your favorable consideration.
The question is, shall second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 25 pass? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The amendment has passed. Senate File 25, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Senate File 67, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 67, sponsored by Senator Ross, Pharmacy Benefits Management.
Senate File 67, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Senate File 68, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 68, sponsored by Senator Ross, Supreme Court Peace Officer.
Senate File 68, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall it be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Senate File 40, House Bill 48, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 48, sponsored by the Education Committee, School Finance Audits Amendment.
House Bill 48, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Senator Case.
Mr. President, may I have privilege of the floor, please?
You may.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members of the Senate, I'd like to introduce a friend of mine from Lander. I'd like to introduce this fine young man who's working on his Eagle Scout project. This is Alex Smith and his parents and Richard Leslie, who I think you all know. Alex has epilepsy, and he's worked his whole life to conquer epilepsy. He is an amazing young man, and he's made epilepsy awareness his Eagle Scout project. So if you all could give Alex, stand up, Alex, and maybe your folks stand up, we'd like to welcome you to the Senate. Yay! Yay!
Welcome, Alex. We're glad you could join us today. Bills on third reading and final passage. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do we have a consent list?
Yes, Mr. President, we do have a consent list on third reading today. Third reading consent list is as follows. Senate File 15, Title 25, Revisions. Senate File 48, Licensure of Midwives. Senate File 52, Reduced Cigarette Ignition Propensity. Senate File 53, Obsolete Laws, General Revisions. Senate File 54, Confirmation of Appointments. Senate File 59, Workers' Compensation Firefighters. Senate File 61, Health Insurance Reform 2. Senate File 65, Termination of Parental Rights. Finally, Senate File 66, Industrial Siting Amendments.
Would anyone like any of these bills removed from the consent list? Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these best bills pass the Senate? Senate File 15, Senate File 48, Senate File 52, Senate File 53, Senate File 54, Senate File 59, Senate File 61, Senate File 65, and Senate File 66. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Elliott.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Geis. Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Honeycutt.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
Massey.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Meyer-S.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Sessions.
Aye.
Townsend.
Aye.
Von Flatern.
Aye.
President Hines.
Aye.
On the consent list, 30 ayes. Senate File 15, are there any changes? Cooper, aye to no. Bebout, aye to no. Dockstader, aye to no. Case, aye to no. Perkins, aye to no. Ross, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 15, 24 ayes, 6 noes. Senate File 48, are there any changes?
Burns,
aye to no. Bebout, aye to no. Dockstader, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 48, 27 ayes, 3 noes. Senate File 52, are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Meyer, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 52, 28 ayes, 2 noes. Senate File 53, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 53, 30 ayes. Senate File 54, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 54, 30 ayes. Senate File 59, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 59, 30 ayes. Senate File 61, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 61, 30 ayes. Senate File 65. Are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 65. 29 ayes, 1 no. Senate File 66. Are there any changes? Schiffer, aye to no. Nicholas, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 66. 28 ayes, 2 noes.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 15, Senate File 48, Senate File 52, Senate File 53, Senate File 54, Senate File 59, Senate File 61, Senate File 65, and Senate File 66 have passed the Senate. Senate File 13, third reading of the Senate files.
Senate File 13, sponsored by the Agriculture Committee, Economic Analysis, an act relating to economic analysis, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
There is an amendment for the reading. Clerk, please read in the amendment.
Senate File 13, third reading, amendment number 1, page 1, line 4.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 13. Members of the Senate, we talked about this bill a lot last week. It's economic analysis, and it's in the Division of Economic Analysis within the AMI department. What this amendment does, Mr. President, is fund one position to accomplish what the bill is attempting to do. And I need to explain that a little bit further and why I chose the language I did. What I've done is I've gone into the vacant pool position. There are 251 of those in state government as it now sets, as I understand it. And that's in Section 314 of our budget bill. If you read that language in there, the way that I read that is that of those 251 positions, 25 may be filled by the governor if he so chooses. The remaining shall not be filled, but they will still be there in state government. And the money will still be with them. And so I thought that in order for this bill to really have an opportunity to do it right, which to me is you need the position. However, I thought that we ought to take a position instead of leaving them there for the two-year cycle like 314 says. So that's what it does, Mr. President. It takes that position out of there. On the other hand, however, in deference to the Joint Appropriations Committee, I thought that they ought to be able to, we ought to have the money go with this bill, rather than take it from those funds that they wanted to leave in there. And so, Mr. President, that's what this does. It funds the Division of Economic Analysis to be able to do what the Senate File 13 does. And when I went into the fiscal profile, just real quickly to share with you, Mr. President, we have to get involved with a nationally recognized modeling company to do the economic analysis. They had $187,000 to set that up. I put $150,000 in. They had some follow-up to do the following year. I thought that their amount was too high, and I put $25,000, and then we fund one position for 2 years. I would ask for your support.
Discussion on amendment. The question is, shall third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 13 pass? Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I presume we're going to have a roll call on this because it does spend more money.
That is needed, yes. Thank you. The question is, shall third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 13 pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Elliott?
Aye.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert? Honeycutt?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Larson?
No.
Martin.
Aye.
Massey.
No.
Meyer.
Aye.
Meyer-S.
No.
Nicholas.
No.
Perkins.
No.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
No.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
No.
Sessions.
No.
Townsend.
No.
Von Flatern.
Aye.
President Hines.
No.
Closing vote. Hastert, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 17 ayes, 13 noes.
By your vote, the amendment has passed. Senator Nicholas.
President and folks, on and against the bill. You know, it seems to me that what we just did is the governor did what's called a soft freeze. He issued an executive order and said, look, we've got to start watching our budgets. We can't afford everything. So he froze positions, and in some instances, positions were frozen, even though they might be required to be reinstated when the drilling sector comes up, when a variety of things in government changes. It was a tough decision, and he froze them. And the JAC came back and said, well, what we're going to do is hold those freezes, but give you some flexibility, 25 positions you can go and fill to run government the way it's needed. Now, we know a lot of those positions, some of those positions are needed, but we also thought this budget's only in effect for 6 months. And we'll be back in 6 months, and if the governor needs more positions, fair enough. Having said that, that's the decision was made. They're frozen. We tried to keep them frozen in time. But you have here a new program to add a new position. And here we are trying to cut budget. We had a 10% budget cut last summer. We have a freeze that's in place right now. We're trying to look at ways to save government. And if the notion is that everybody can, if the idea is to find creative ways for government to conduct new activities, fair enough. There are lots of creative things for government to do. We have adequate money in the natural resources policy account for counties to go and borrow money from to get money if they need to do some of these activities. But this idea that you're going to take A&I, their economic analysis division, and turn them into an advocate to collect data for counties, it's just not going to work that way. How do you know what that data is going to be derived? How do you know it's going to be useful? And what happens for the county if you find out the data they collect is not even helpful? In fact, it's information that doesn't help their cause. Counties have specific needs. They ought to be out gathering their information if they need it. But we're here trying to regulate government, the size of government, the growth of government. The governor downstairs is trying to do this effort. We are, and here we are now adding a position because we think it's creative. And there are a lot of programs that we cut off. There's positions at the University of Wyoming that were cut out last summer that are just as necessary as this position. I'd urge you to resist this effort. Say no.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would urge the body to support this bill. And everything my good colleague from Laramie County said about the Appropriations Committee, the process they went through, and everything they did, I agree with. However, there's some things I don't agree with him on. And let me talk to you a little bit about it. He said that this data will be impartial. It won't be impartial, and how can the Division of Economic Analysis come up with information that might be helpful to our counties? I'll tell you how. The way we've tried to structure this is we're talking about economic data developed by a nationally recognized firm that will provide this tool to the counties, the impact that they will receive based on decisions made by people that manage our federal lands. That's all we're trying to do. Is it important? Ask yourself this. Take your specific counties that you live in, and drive, if you drive around Wyoming, and if you have a preferred alternative relative to a specific BLM plan or a Forest Service plan that says there shall be no recreation. There shall be no mineral development. There shall be no grazing. Does that have an impact on your county? Does it have an impact on our state government? Absolutely. So the decision is, do we want to try to provide them the tool to be able to go in there and be and intelligently communicate with them and fight for what they think is right? I say yes. There was a comment made about maybe it's better to let each county do its own way. My colleague from Bighorn County has sat and participated in these. And as you remember, he testified on this floor the benefits that he had when they did it. I will tell you that if you allow each county to do their own plan, we're spending a lot of money that we shouldn't have to spend. And that's the purpose of doing this. I thought it was important enough, and I understand all these other positions, but when I went through and looked at that pool, at all those vacant positions, there are some positions in there that haven't been filled for 24 months. Some for 10 months, some for 12. My thinking, if you like this program, you understand the benefits to what this does for the state of Wyoming and these counties, you ought to support it, and you ought to prioritize those positions to do with just what this bill does. So I would ask for your support.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. President. On for the bill. The other problem that exists here is the county commissioners come and go. The boards, they rotate, they change, and this information sometimes is put on the shelf and lost once it's had. Being reviewed every 3 years would keep this to the forefront of these boards as change happens. And this is critical information. This is information, you know, we are living in a public land state, and in some of our counties, in my particular county, 80% of the land is publicly managed, 80%. When we have an economic development meeting and trying to come up with land use plans and things like this, and the Bureau of Land Management or the federal agencies that help us control these lands and dictate what happens on this ground, they don't show up to these meetings. It's, you know, 80% of your decision-making authority is not represented, and it's tough on these counties with this type of land being controlled by the federal government and these land management agencies. And for the most part, they do an excellent job. But in other cases, there's some shortcomings and misgivings and misunderstanding and decisions being made that directly affect our way of lives in these counties, these public land counties. I'd urge your support on this bill. This is critical information that these counties can utilize and make these county commissions a more effective player in these public land agencies and these decisions that are being made. Road closures, timber sales that aren't going through, organizations that basically thwart the efforts of these local counties and our economic decisions that are being made. We need some help, and this is some good help. I would say, you know, when we talk about direct distribution and funds that we're trying to give to our counties, I would say probably more so this right here, this effort, is more important than the direct distribution, the monies that we allocate to our counties. This information is that critical. So I'd urge your support for this bill.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I won't take long. I spoke briefly in favor of this on first reading, and I won't be too redundant. But I represent two counties that are both ag counties. There's quite a contrast between the two counties in regard to the way they approach industrial development. The county that I have on the north is on the edge of the Powder River Basin. I've always said a slice of that county is like taking a slice out of the state, and it represents practically all the interests in terms of minerals and business and economic development, mining, power plant, all those things that kind of exemplify what happens in our state. Adjoining that county to the south is another, which I also represent a portion of, quite different. They have no mineral resources. They have a very low evaluation. They're one of the hardship counties, and so they're really looking forward to the potential of wind. And I guess that's what brings me to Rise, because in one county, the county that I live in, we're having very rapid wind development as a result of having available transmission. And what it's done is brought a very stern contrast in philosophy as how we should manage that. We have one group who is concerned about the environment, those mountainous areas to the south of the county, and have gone repeatedly to the county asking for moratoriums to be placed upon the development of wind in those high-altitude areas. But we also have on the other side an organization of landowners who feel that enable for them to stay on their ranches and farms, and some of them have been on those ranches for 100 years and are about to lose them, and so they're trying to leverage every asset. So we have the conflict in that one county going between those interests in regard to which would be the most benefit not only to them, but the most benefit of the county. There's a little objective information to allow me and even those county commissioners to make decisions in regard to those moratoriums or other actions within that county with what would be most appropriate economically. Then you take that whole county and you compare it to the adjoining county to the south, who has appropriately in their minds, and I think in my mind, regulated the coming of the wind. But given the lack of transmission, there isn't any wind development. But many of the ag entrepreneurs, the ag people there feel that it's absolutely imperative that they get that wind development in that county to offset the lack of minerals. So you get a really rigid contrast between way that what one county views the value of that asset as compared to the other county, and it leaves really an emotional dilemma for those of us in policy-making positions, being the county commissioners and perhaps the state level, as to regard to which is best. And so then you go in there and you start making decisions on your gut kind of level. Well, that's not the best way to do it. I again repeat, I think this kind of an economic evaluation of what that asset might do for local landowners, what it might do for the county, or what it might do for one county compared to the other would be, I think, an objective means, objective data where we think, I think, could make better, much better decisions rather than being driven by the strong influence of special interest groups in making that. So I would just, from that standpoint, having lived that experience, ask you to favorably consider this bill.
Senator Nicholas, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. President. You know, folks, these are tough decisions out there that exist, and anybody that thinks that you can hire a government employee working out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, in an office over in the library, and he's going to try to decide a uniform criteria for collecting, compiling, analyzing, reporting, distributing economic data, and somehow he's going to put data into a computer model, and it's going to go out to the county commissioners, and all of a sudden decisions that are hard to make, that are subjective, are going to become easy? Well, I'll tell you what, if that was the case, we could solve all the problems down here in Cheyenne. We just hire a whole bunch more employees, and we'd tell the counties what to do. There's nothing easy about these decisions. There's nothing that's going to make these decisions easier. And I submit to you, it's the likelihood that somebody can compile, analyze, maintain, and create a digest that's going to show you the optimum use and development of agriculture, grazing, minerals, timber, water, industrial resources, recreation, energy production is zero. And if you want to see a bunch of these studies that give you proposals, all you got to do is drive across the summit, go to University of Wyoming, and you'll find a study on every one of these topics. There's a Hopps School. There's a school of the Ruckelshaus Institute. There's a whole bunch of articles. And they're piled up, and I'll bet you they'll pile up this high. You can go read them all. And if you think that will make your decision easier with respect to being a county commissioner, fair enough. I don't think it will. Frankly, it's just an optimistic hope that somehow you would take some of these hard decisions, collect economic data, and I submit to you all you're doing is increasing the size of government. We try to reduce it, and then somebody says, you know, let's increase it. I'd urge you to reject the bill.
Does anyone else wish to speak before the sponsor of the amendment have his second term? Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President. My colleague from Laramie County made the argument why you should vote for this. And I learned a long time ago that when we sit in this body and we try to make decisions that affect the state, you go out to the people that are involved on the front line. ladies and gentlemen, that's not us when we talk about counties. That's the county commissioners. I will tell you that I have not had one county commissioner come to me and say that this isn't something that will help. Are we optimistic to think government can do this? Sure. Should we go to the University of Wyoming and get all the information we can? Absolutely. These decisions they make are very, very critical to our state, and anything we can do to help them will only benefit the state in the long run. I for one, as I looked through the budget excuse me, last night and looked at the size of government, I appreciate what the JAC tries to do about controlling the growth. The hardest decision I've had to make in my professional life as a businessman is when times sometimes are the toughest, I've had to step up and spend money on things that were outside what I had done before to try to enhance my ability to keep the people that work for me employed and make a living. That's what we're trying to do here. They're going to come back in 2 years. If you look at the budget that we just passed, the budget amendment, it's not going to be in the standard budget. It's going to be in the expanded budget. I hope the Appropriations Committee takes a hard look at it and grills them. Can I tell you absolutely that this will work? No. But if we leave here without this, you're going to have the county commissioners in the same situation they've been in for the last 10 years when they deal with the federal bureaucracy. That is, they don't have any economic data. I would ask that you support this bill.
Senate File 13, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Elliott?
Aye.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
No.
Honeycutt?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Larson?
No.
Martin? Massey,
no.
Meyer,
aye.
Meyer-S,
no.
Nicholas,
no.
Perkins,
no.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
no.
Schiffer,
no.
Scott,
no.
Sessions,
no.
Townsend,
aye.
Von Flatern,
no.
President Hines,
no.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 16 ayes, 14 noes.
You said 16. Senate File 13, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the member elected to the Senate, Senate File 13 have passed the Senate. Senator Johnson.
Mr. President, may I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
Okay. Fellow senators, it was interesting from being from the big city that in my decades in Wyoming, I've come to admire an organization that I think does the most for the youth and its membership that I've ever seen. And up in the west balcony, of way on top, if they'll stand, I'd like to introduce the FFA from Burns High School, just east of us. So will you please make them welcome to the Senate?
Welcome to the Senate, FFA members. I might also tell you I've outgrown my FFA jacket. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we are that order of business, considerations of bills on general file.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that the Senate resolve itself into the Committee of the Whole.
You've heard the motion. All in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. Motion carried. Senator Cole.
The Committee of the Whole, please come to order. First bill for our consideration is House Bill 2. The reading clerk, please read the House bill.
House Bill 2, sponsored by the Agriculture Committee. Veterinarians, an act relating to veterinarians. It was assigned to Committee Number 5, Agricultural, State, and Public Lands and Water Resources. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Bebout, Elliott, Geis, Jennings, and Johnson. Senator Geis, Chairman.
Senator Geis. Push red one. Yeah, Senator Geis, just a minute here. Us old people are having trouble figuring this out. Okay, Senator Geis.
Mr. Chairman, when the Committee of the Whole rise and report, I move House Bill 2 do pass, and I'll yield to Senator Elliott to explain the bill.
Senator Elliott.
Mr. Chairman, members of the Senate, this is a pretty straightforward bill, simply amending the Veterinarian Loan Repayment Program. And under their rulemaking authority, they previously had put in language which did not allow certain graduate veterinarians who are licensed to practice veterinary medicine in the state of Wyoming to apply for this loan repayment program. This amendment simply says that anyone who is a graduate veterinarian and who is licensed to practice veterinary medicine in the state of Wyoming is authorized to apply for the loan repayment program. Mind you, it doesn't give them the right to the loan repayment program, but simply makes it valid for them to make application to that rulemaking authority. Time before last, there were two members of the rulemaking of the Veterinarian Loan Repayment Program applicants who were disqualified because they graduated from a university out of the Caribbean, but passed their licensure requirements in the state of Wyoming. This simply remedies that, lets them make application. It does not say that they're automatically entitled to the loan repayment program. I would urge the adoption of House Bill number 2.
Discussion on House Bill 2? Are you ready for the question? All in favor of Senator Geis's motion to pass House Bill 2 in Committee of the Whole, please say aye. Opposed, nay. House Bill 2 is passed Committee of the Whole. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 4. The reading clerk, please read the House bill.
House Bill 4, sponsored by the Mental Health Committee, Criminal Procedure, Time Limits for Competency Evaluation, and Act Relating to Criminal Procedures. It was referred to Committee Number 1 Judiciary. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Burns, Esmeyer, Perkins, Ross, and Sessions. Senator Ross, Chairman.
Senator Curley.
Thank you, Chairman.
Senator Ross.
Committee of the Whole rise and report. You do so with a do-pass recommendation on House Bill 4, Criminal Procedure, Time Limits for Competency Evaluation, and would yield the floor to the good senator from wherever you're...
Senator Peterson.
I hope...
Committee. What keeps going on?
Lacking in the competency evaluations. So we tried to get a handle on that. Basically, this bill, Mr. Chairman, does a number of things. First of all, we amend the time period for the competency evaluations of non-adjudicated defendants. Second, this bill provides procedures for competency evaluations. Third, authorizing courts to order release of relevant records, and fourth, requiring reports. A couple of things on the bill, Mr. Chairman and fellow senators, that you should be aware of. Page 2, line 13, The prosecuting attorney and counsel for the accused shall cooperate in providing relevant information and materials to the designated examiner, and the court may order as necessary that relevant information be provided to the examiner. We're just basically asking the prosecuting attorney and the counsel for the accused to cooperate and provide this information that would help the examiner make this assessment. Page 3, line 11 of the bill, the examiner shall provide a full report to the court, the prosecuting attorney, and the accused of his counsel within 90 days of the arrival of the accused and the designated treatment to the designated treatment facility. So we're trying to put a time frame in there to try to speed up this assessment and provide this report. Page 4. Upon receipt of this report, the court shall hold a hearing to determine the accused's current status. The burden of proving that the accused is fit to proceed shall be on the proponent of the assertion. Following the hearing, the court shall determine by a preponderance of the evidence whether the accused is, number one, fit to proceed, number two, not fit to proceed, with the substantial probability that the accused may become fit to proceed in the foreseeable future, and three, not fit to proceed, with the substantial probability that the accused may become fit to proceed in the foreseeable future. Item number C on that same page 5, if the court makes a determination pursuant to subdivision B of this paragraph, the court shall proceed with the trial of such other procedures as may be necessary to adjudicate the charges. D, if the court makes a determination pursuant to subdivision B of this paragraph, the court may order that the accused remain committed to the custody of the designated facility. And then finally, E, if the court makes a determination pursuant to subdivision B of this paragraph, the court shall order the accused released from the custody of the designated facility. So, Mr. Chairman, with that, this bill basically just tries to clarify a little bit, tries to speed up the process of the assessment of the accused and to see if they are fit to proceed on with the trial and the process. That's the intent of the bill, Mr. Chairman, and I'd stand for any questions.
Any further discussion on the bill? Are you ready for the question? The question's on Senator Ross's motion that House Bill 4 pass Committee of the Whole. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. House Bill 4 is passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 7. The reading clerk, please read the House bill. Senator Ross first.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. May I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
Members of the Senate, I'd like to introduce to you the students from East High School who are here with their teacher, Shannon Warzyniak. I hope I said that right. They're governmental and legal studies students from East High School, and they're in the West Balcony, and would appreciate your welcoming them to the Senate.
You're welcome to the Senate. Back on House Bill 7. The reading clerk, please read the House bill.
House Bill 7, sponsored by the Corporations Committee, Election Code Revisions, an act relating to elections. It was referred to Committee Number 7, Corporation Election and Political Subdivision. Report back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Case, Cooper, Hastert, Johnson, and Scott. Senator Case, Chairman.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Committee of the Whole rises on House Bill 7.
I can't make it stay on.
The floor.
Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to go over and bring you House Bill Number 7, Election Code Revisions. This was a joint corporations. This was a committee bill that we had looked at. And what this bill does, Mr. Chairman, is on page 2, we have the that the county clerk shall conduct a random audit of the ballots by processing the pre-audited group. And basically what that does is that we have a 5% or at least one machine. And this would require each county to test at least one machine and with the pre-audit group and the testing ballots to prove that the machines are still in good working order. Mr. Chairman, the 5% was used because it's at a national level. This is the threshold they would like to see in place for the counties to audit 5% of the machines. At any time, the clerk feels that the machines have failed, though, Mr. Chairman, they can take the necessary steps to test the machine. In Section 22.3.103, this will delete 8 little I, or 8, Section 8 of the date the voter became a resident of the county. That's what the repealer that you'll see on the back, but what this does is it deletes that. This is not a requirement to be a voter for a certain length of time, Mr. Chairman, in a county. Therefore, it's being deleted. Then on 22.3.106, this is a request for voter registration withdrawal form. The current law states that each voter who is registered in another state or county must fill out a separate form to request that the voter registration be withdrawn from the previous state or county records. With the new voter registration system, the voter registration card, this is all included on one form. So we no longer have to send these forms to another state or other counties, as this information is being transferred to the other state and counties electronically, Mr. Chairman, so it's not needed. Then we have 22.5.213 on page 4, and this is an update. It's nonpartisan voter who is now considered an unaffiliated voter in our new system. This is just a cleanup language to say an unaffiliated instead of nonpartisan. 22.9.115. This language added is to make it very clear to voters that once you turn in your absentee ballot, you can't receive the ballot back. This helps to make sure that all voters are casting their ballots in a like manner, Mr. Chairman. When you vote at the polls, you can't get your ballot back after it's placed in the machine. 22.11.104, the conduct of elections in which systems utilize before testing an election. This is just to notify the county chairman of each political party that they can participate in the testing procedure. And then 22.6.103, canvassing procedures to review. Wants to make it clear that part of the county canvassing board duties is to review and certify successful write-in candidates after it's determined that they are qualified. And then 35.2.414, administration of finances. Mr. Chairman, this is a problem in the election language from the Principal Act for the hospital districts. Current language in 35.2.14D requires renewal of a mill levy to be submitted at the general election every 4 years. This poses a problem, Mr. Chairman, if the initial mill levy is held in an odd number year, since there would not be a general election held 4 years after the initial election. The statute doesn't even allow the clerks to submit a continuation of this question on another special elections. It says it has to be a general election. This language proposed is from the lodging tax statutes, Mr. Chairman. And then Section 3, where it goes into 22.3.103A.8, is repealed, and that's just that language that I mentioned before, that it doesn't have to be the date he became a resident of the county, and that's no longer relevant, Mr. Chairman. So with that, that's just a few of the election code revisions that the county clerks brought to the committee, Mr. Chairman, over the interim. And with that, we'll stand for questions.
Discussion on House Bill 7. Are you ready for the question? Questions on Senator Case's motion that House Bill 7 pass Committee of the Whole. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. House Bill 7 is passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 12. The reading clerk, please read the House Bill.
House Bill 12, sponsored by the Judiciary Committee, Juvenile Detention Facilities Admission Criteria, and Act Relating to Juvenile Detention. It was referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Burns, Esmeyer, Perkins, Ross, and Sessions. Senator Ross, Chairman.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rise and report, it do so with a favorable do pass recommendation on House Bill 12, Juvenile Detention Facilities Admissions Criteria. There is a standing committee amendment, and I'd ask that it be read in at this time.
The reading clerk, please read the standing committee amendment.
House Bill 12, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to engrossed copy, page 2, line 24.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House Bill, I move Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 12, and I will discuss it in conjunction with the bill. Ladies and gentlemen, this bill is a Joint Judiciary Committee bill. It's a companion bill to the Senate file that's passed this Senate with regards to juvenile detention facilities. This bill pertains to admission criteria and primarily an assessment piece that your committee felt was justified in making determinations with regard to what to do with a juvenile once that juvenile has been picked up at 2 a.m. in the morning, and to provide some objective criteria so that our juveniles throughout the state are treated similarly given the limitations of the locality. Mr. Chairman, what the Standing Committee does is to make sure that it is a uniform assessment, which is designed by the county sheriffs. Testimony in committee was is that that's where they were going and more than likely would go there, but it wasn't necessarily specific in the bill, and so we added on page 2 and 3 and over on page 5 the language that it would be a uniform assessment piece and one that is designed by the county sheriffs. And then the standing committee also requires that the county sheriffs report on page 7, line 4, that the county sheriff shall report and the Department of Family Services shall collect and analyze the data. The reason we added that particular line in there is that there are a couple of counties in which the sheriffs have refused to report. And without the data, you don't really know how things are being handled. And therefore, we have included in this Standing Committee Amendment the requirement that they shall report. And with that, I'd call for the question on the Standing Committee Amendment. If there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
The questions on the Standing Committee Amendment to House Bill 12, any discussion? All in favor of the motion on the Standing Committee Amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The Standing Committee Amendment has been adopted. Back on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So what does this bill do? As we talked about in the previous bill, it defines hardware and staff secure facilities. Of course, the hardware secure facilities are secure with bars and locks and clanging doors and so forth. Staff secure is more of a dormitory style. So when the child is picked up at 2 a.m. in the morning, the officer will fill out a one-page assessment form. It will answer questions and fill it out numerically. Is this a violent crime? Is it a repeat offender? Is there an outstanding warrant? And therefore, to make some objective criteria as to what to do with the child. First option is to return the child to his parents. If the score is high enough, this assessment piece will allow the officer to objectively decide to place the child either in a staff secure or hardware secure facility. If the officer or prosecutor feels it's justified, the officer can override, and this is critical, can override the assessment piece. This is just to give some objective criteria. Well, now with the standing committee amendments, the county sheriffs will come up with a uniform assessment piece throughout the state. The other thing that this bill does is it requires notification of the parents within 24 hours of where the whereabouts of the child. So with that, I'd urge your favorable consent.
You ready for the question? All in favor of Senator Ross's motion that House Bill 12 pass Committee of the Whole, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. House Bill 12 is passed Committee of the Whole. The next House bill for our consideration is House Bill 13. The reading clerk, please read the House bill.
House Bill 13, sponsored by the Judiciary Committee, Underage Drinking, an Act Relating to Alcohol, was referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary, reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Burns, S. Meyer, Perkins, Ross, and Sessions, Senator Ross, Chairman.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises and report, it do so with a do pass recommendation on House Bill 13, Underage Drinking, a Joint Judiciary Committee interim bill. And for an explanation of the bill, I would yield the floor to the good judiciary member from Laramie County, Senator Sessions.
Senator Sessions.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is another one of our juvenile bills. And what this does, and I'll just read to you the present law, which is one long run on sentence. Any person under the age of 21 who has any alcoholic or malt beverages in his possession or who is drunk or under the influence of alcoholic liquor, malt beverage, or controlled substance on any street or highway or in any public place is guilty of a misdemeanor. This has caused problems for years because different people are determining what happens to a kid in different manners all over the state. They're treated, so the legislature, this is one of the things that was identified. We need to clarify this law. So what it does is it separates out the crimes. It separates out the crimes of consumption and possession, and then it sets up where the exceptions to both of those. And so that there is no question about how we want our kids to be treated or what happens when they're brought in for underage drinking. And the first part of it then, what it does is it says you can't attempt to purchase, you can't solicit another to purchase, you can't possess, you can't consume, and you cannot have measurable alcohol concentration. But then it sets out, the second part of it is the exceptions for possession and consumption. In the physical presence of parents, in your church, or if it's a prescription, if it's medicinal. Then there is an exception in there just for possession. And if you're making a delivery as part of your job, and remember we allowed that an 18-year-old to do that in our restaurants that have the liquor licenses. They cannot physically, I understand, go into the bar part, but they can, if handed, they can deliver the alcohol to the customers. And then the minor is the actual licensee. This is where the kid inherits the bar or owns it. So you're not punishing him for that. So the committee amendments, ethanol alcohol, you'll see at the end of the bill, was only needed for consumption and not for the other crimes listed. So that was what was changed in the bill. Parental exception does not apply to liquor establishments. And we have to be clear about that. So, and then it deletes all of J, which was dealing with prima facie evidence. So I think right now we have a pretty clean bill that is a protection for parents and for kids so that they know going in what is going to happen and will not be confused in the matter before the judge. So I would be glad to answer any questions if you have any.
Further discussions on House Bill 13.
Yes, you do.
Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just one question. Over on page 3, line 5, it says essentially that someone who is the spouse, if you're under 21 and your spouse is present, then you can go ahead and drink. And I'm just thinking of situations, especially coming from a university community, where the spouse is 21 and the underage person is 20 or 19, which is quite often over there. Does that mean that that person, the underage part of that team, can go to parties and just drink and without any kind of without paying attention whatsoever to our underage drinking laws?
Senator Ross. Mr. Chairman, the answer is likely yes. and it's, of course, a balancing act. And remember that we're dealing with, I mean, there's what we've defined what is consumption, what is possession, and have ultimately said this is against the law, and we've assisted law enforcement in how they can handle that. Are we going to have abuses of the system? Probably. Do we have abuses of the system now? Absolutely. This certainly tightens things up some, but in going through this, and we started looking at this exception and with an adult, it was raised during the interim. Well, what about a spouse that may be older? And so we added it in. It can be certainly taken out, but I'm not sure why we would treat them differently than we would treat anybody else.
Senator Esquibel.
Mr. Chairman, a question I had was in regard to this spouse situation. What kind of discussions or logic was there in allowing the spouse that's under the age of 21 be able to drink, but someone that's not a spouse that's under the age of 21 not being able to drink?
Senator Sessions.
Mr. Chairman, I think who is in the presence, parent, spouse, or legal guardian who is 21 or older, other than in an established license under this title. So I think that established license under this title, I think it means that as well as children cannot go into a bar and drink with their parents or their spouse, but they have that ability in the privacy of their own home and in an establishment not licensed by this title that they can drink with their spouse or with their parent. I think that's the difference.
Any other underage drinkers want to comment on this bill? Senator Schiffer.
Mr. Chairman, in looking at the repealer on page 5, line 23, that repealer specific, and there's a specific exemption in there for people under 21 with their parents. Now, what this repealer does is eliminates that exemption. And let me give you an example. Up in my community, we have a large number of residents with a specific nationality that likes to drink wine. They do it at family gatherings, at their when they gather each year to celebrate the harvest, things of that nature. It is very much a family, very much accepted in those families that young people are allowed to drink wine. Oftentimes, it's diluted with water. But that's part of their culture. And what this bill does is eliminate that exemption. Those people would be guilty of a crime under this statute as proposed. And in fact, it's part of their culture.
They put it back in over here.
I stand corrected. We can continue to celebrate Basque Days as we've always done, and I apologize.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, I do have a question. Trying to compare the old statute with the new one, it appears to me that what is different, and maybe I've missed it in a quick reading, is that Now you can do it at home, but if you've got a family gathering at a restaurant that has a restaurant license, you can no longer serve the kids a glass of wine or something like that. Mr. Chairman, I think that's cause to defeat this bill. I really wonder about that. I've always thought our exemption made some sense because, and as the Senate knows, I don't drink, but I've always thought that particularly in those families that come from a culture where the drinking, particularly of wine, is an accepted part of the culture, having the kids taught by the parents in the context of the kind of normal family gatherings that you get in many of these ethnic groups was a very good way to teach young people the responsible way to handle adults. And I think this bill is going too far.
Senator Meyer.
Mr. Chairman, I got a question on page 5, line 20, and I might have missed it, but on subsection J, the new one that's in there, does that mean that a teenager can't use gasohol?
Senator Ross.
I'm answering that one first, absolutely. with regard to the parental exemption, that's a contentious issue, and is one that that your Senate judiciary fought hard to keep in the bill. In the interim, the bill as it comes through, introduced into the House, that was not in there. And if it's the will of the Senate that be stricken, that can be done on second reading. That was added as a committee amendment in the House on the liquor with a parent or an adult in an establishment. You know, that's a policy question for this body. Should somebody who's underage but who is with his parent, may they drink in a liquor establishment? Well, you also put at times your liquor establishment into jeopardy in terms of serving someone who's underage in that regard. So there's competing interests involved in this, but that's how it got there, and we would have to decide if that's acceptable or not. But that's how it got there, and I think that's the best I can explain on that one.
Further discussion on House Bill 13. Senator Sessions.
I do think that you need to think about the establishment and people who hold both a full liquor license and a restaurant liquor license. You don't, you know, in a restaurant liquor license, people 18 and older can serve that liquor, but they can't drink it. That was the big argument we had several years ago. But you can't see them sitting down then and drinking that. And I don't understand why, you know, in a bar, how many kids do you see set up in a bar stool anymore? Now, it used to be, you saw it when I was growing up, but you don't see it anymore. There's just too much, too many legal problems, too many at risk for those licenses if we do those kinds of things. So in the privacy of their own home, in picnics, in anything else, if they want to have a glass of wine or a beer with their parents, that's perfectly legal. But I think what happens is I think even your establishments would be very leery of allowing that bottle of wine to be broken open and serve it to all those underage kids. That's really a problem.
Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, the senator from Natrona County makes a good point, and I think I generally agree with him, and should he want to bring a second or third reading amendment to that effect, I'd probably be willing to go on with him, I think, because there's a couple of other questions involved in that. Other states allow minors into serving rooms and so forth, and I think I've always thought that that's actually a way of civilizing the serving room, and it also opens kids' eyes to the good and bad aspects of alcohol, And there's also the question about the idea of people who are in the service. If it's always been a good question to me that if somebody is old enough to go out and get killed serving our country, they should be allowed to have a beer, too. And that question is a good one that would attach to this bill. But that I don't think in any way denies from the quality of the bill itself. I think it's a very good bill and clarifies some areas. If there's some tweaking, I think it should come on second or third reading.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, I want to make sure I understand the current law and how this bill is changing it. As I understand, currently you do have the ability for service to a minor who is in the presence of their parent. But as a practical matter, you can't do it in a bar because the kids can't go there. So what we're talking about is restaurants with a restaurant license and possibly, I don't know what the bar and grill license allows service in the general food area. If it does, that would be another place. But you're not talking about letting the kids in any circumstances into the bars because the separate statute that prohibits that.
Senator Case.
Mr. Chairman, having some kind of inside knowledge about some of these areas, there actually is no statute in Wyoming that prohibits a juvenile from being in a bar. That is the purview of the local licensing authority, and they can make exceptions for particular establishments based on their layout or not. It would be very interesting to me to have a kid be able to drink with his parents but not be able to go in the bar. That's kind of interesting, but I don't really have an opinion on that aspect, but you do need to know that some local licensing authorities do permit children to be in the bar. And it's in my hometown, there are two establishments that have their licenses amended to allow for that. And so don't think it's a statewide law because it absolutely is not. I was surprised to find that out.
Further discussion on House Bill 13. Are you ready for the question? The question's on Senator Ross's motion that House Bill 13 pass committee of the whole. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay.
No.
House Bill 13 is passed committee of the whole. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 16. Reading clerk, please read the House bill.
House Bill 16, sponsored by Representative Buchanan. Private School Licensing Exemption, an act relating to private school licensing. It was referred to Committee Number 4, Education. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Cole, Jennings, Massey, Sessions, Von Flader, and Senator Cole, Chairman.
Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. When the Committee of the Whole rises, the report asks to do so with a do-pass recommendation on House Bill 16. I believe there is an amendment, and I'd ask it to be read in now.
The reading clerk, please read the amendment.
House Bill 16, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to engross copy, page 1, line 3.
Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the amendment, and for the explanation of this, I would ask Senator Meyer.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, this goes into the Private School Licensing Act. If you recall, a couple years ago, we did quite a little bit of work, and I think effectively eliminating diploma mills. However, we cast the net a little bit too broad, and brought in a couple of religious colleges that were operating and are still operating in the States. And this kind of defines the type of degrees that these colleges can issue and also limits the areas of instruction to make sure that Wyoming is still diploma mill free. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I guess I can go in and explain the Standing Committee Amendment if you want me to do that, or do you want to have one of your other folks do that?
Senator Meyer, I think the Standing Committee Amendment has been moved, and I think you can deal with the Standing Committee
Amendment. Okay, the Standing Committee Amendment, Mr. Chairman, goes into subsection C, and this is in the area of distance education. And the reference there, 2113-330F, Romanet I, basically deals with K through 12. And what this essentially does, the committee dropped in, took that reference out and dropped in the actual distance education meaning, and which is teacher and student are physically separated by time and space and connected by a means of communication source used to provide synchronous or asynchronous instruction. So with that explanation of the amendment, I guess I would call for a question on the amendment.
Is there a discussion on the Standing Committee Amendment? All in favor of the Standing Committee Amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The Standing Committee Amendment has been adopted. Back on the bill.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The types of degrees that that can be offered by these colleges that are in Wyoming now are an associate degree and a bachelor's degree. Presently, Texas and Florida allow for both a master's and a doctorate's degree. However, that wasn't necessary for the institutions that are in our state. And so I think it, with that, Mr. Chairman, that explains the bill, gives the reason why we're not going to become a diploma mill state in the future. And I do believe there's some other language that's in a committee, the whole amendment, that will further refine that. And so I would sit down now and see if that committee of the whole amendment is ready.
The reading clerk, please read the committee of the whole amendment.
House Bill 16, Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 to engross copy, page 3, line 2.
Senator Von Flader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 16 and ask for your favorable vote on this. What this the state and this body spent a lot of time cleaning up some distant, some diploma mills, for lack of a better word, that were existing in this state, and all of those have left. I just wanted to make sure through this amendment that there was a reporting requirement before they began if somebody else should come in and try to award diplomas of religious study, that they had to at least report before they started. The way the bill reads now, they only have to report a year from now and give their religious affiliation and what they've been doing. So you'd have 1 year they could be here, we'd never know about it. Take another year before somebody probably woke up to the fact that they were here, and probably a third year to do a little legal wrangling before you either certified them or actually shut them down. So all this amendment does is go on page 3 after line 7 and insert the language on and after the effective date of this act for any institution not currently operating in this state, not less than 60 days prior to first issuing any degree under this subparagraph, reports to the department any degree which the institution will award and the religious affiliation the institution maintains. So all it is an earlier reporting, and I'll take questions on that.
Discussion on the committee of the whole amendment. Senator Meyer.
Mr. Chairman, I support this amendment. I think it makes the bill stronger and doesn't affect any of the current institutions we have.
Questions on committee of the whole amendment number 1 to House Bill 16. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. That amendment's been adopted. Back on the bill.
Question.
Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, I'm wishing somebody, the sponsor, somebody could explain to me the necessity for this bill. The state, as I understand it, and from reading this bill, has absolutely no say as to what the curriculum is and no say as to what constitutes any of these degrees or what doesn't constitute any of these degrees. So I'm wondering why the state would want to have itself involved in this or give any sort of approval whatsoever.
Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. When we passed the private school licensing bill last year, a couple years ago, we did say that to get rid of the diploma mills, that you had to be accredited by a national standard coming back in. Very expensive, takes quite a while to do it, but it got rid of all the diploma mills. What's happened here is that we had two religious Bible colleges in the state. They have to have certain words in their degrees or their diplomas so that these potential missionaries and pastors can go out and get their jobs in the field and whatnot. They were the unintended consequence in this. They've been trying to work with the department, who, again, has to make sure that if a
college sets up in Wyoming that it's accredited. And that's, you know, and that was the biggest tool that we had that deleted the diploma mills. These guys have been there, two schools in the state. One of them's been in business for 40 years. Never had a complaint. Everybody's happy about it, but all of a sudden they have children or students enrolled, and all of a sudden they had to change what they were going to call their degree. And if you notice in the degrees, it got what is listed in there is religious studies and then whatever kind of degree it is. So all this is taking care of those students. Diploma mills or other colleges that want to come into the state, and my esteemed decimates amendment says if anybody comes into the state, try to set up a school and try to make it a diploma mill. Between this bill and that amendment, they just don't happen. But this kind of fixes the unintended consequences that we had from the bill we passed before.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, am I right in thinking that the new Catholic college that there is up in Fremont County is regularly accredited and not affected by this?
Senator Jennings?
Yes.
Further discussion on House Bill 16. Senator Burns.
One last question then. Should any other religious college want to come into the state, even with the amendment by the good senator from Campbell County, the state's still going to have absolutely no say over what that curriculum may be or what the standards are going to be to get any of these particular degrees?
Senator Meyer?
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, going into the curriculum, and this goes to a court case, I believe that was in Texas, and I'll try to get that if you want the particulars of it, but basically it was brought about as far as a challenge to a school that wanted to form in Texas based on the separation of powers in church and state. And so what we're trying to do here is to make sure that we don't have what we had before in some circumstances, whether it was religious or other things, where it's a 1-800, I've got a diploma for you type of a thing. And so you have to have face-to-face instruction. So there isn't anything as far as the curriculum, but there are requirements as far as the type of instruction that has to occur. So we're making sure that we're not going to have what the abuses that we had in the past, really to say that we have that the state should get in and regulate what kind of curriculum is going to be at a religious institution and college, it's probably something that probably shouldn't be going there.
Further discussion on House Bill 16. You ready for the question? The question's on Senator Jennings' motion that House Bill 16 pass committee of the whole. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. House Bill 16 pass committee of the whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move that the Committee of the Whole rise and report.
You've all heard the motion. All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. Mr. President.
Chief. Reports from the Standing Committee. You need to. We'll read the committee the whole report.
Yeah. Okay.
Chief Clerk will. I mean, Chief Reader will read the committee the whole report.
Oh.
Mr. President, your Committee of the Whole, having had under consideration bills on general file, begs leave to report as follows. House Bill 2, do pass. House Bill 4, do pass. House Bill 7, do pass. House Bill 12, do pass amended. House Bill 13, do pass. And House Bill 16, do pass amended. Senator Coe, Chairman.
Senator Coe.
You, Mr. President, I move adoption of the Committee of the Whole report.
You heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Motion passed. Reports from standing committees.
February the 22nd, 2010, Mr. President, your committee number one judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 17, engrossed, reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Burns, Esmeyer, Perkins, Ross, and Sessions, Senator Ross, Chairman. February the 22nd, 2010, Mr. President, your committee number one judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 66, engrossed, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Burns, Esmeyer, Perkins, Ross, and Sessions, Senator Ross, Chairman.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that the Senate be at recess until 2 p.m. this afternoon.
Senator Coe.
Hey, Mr. President, an announcement from the Cody Youth for Justice, who are in town with their teacher, Deb White, who just achieved National Board Certification, which I think is wonderful. They're hosting a luncheon in the conference room in the Hathaway Building in conjunction with Department of Family Services, and it's about independent living teens aging out of foster care. So I would invite anybody that would like to attend.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, first an announcement about the Corporations Committee meeting, and then I have another announcement. It's housekeeping. Mr. President, Corporations Committee number 7 will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. in S-19 to hear the following bills. House Bill 10, engrossed, electrical safety, low voltage licensing. House Bill 5, engrossed, insurance risk-based capital revisions. That's going to be a big one, Mr. Chairman. Exciting. House Bill 6, engrossed, county officials, administrative and fiscal duties, the latter one if time permits. And then, members of the Senate, two housekeeping items. One is that there is a laptop survey in your box dated today. Where your technology committee voted upon the recommendations of staff to look more at wholesale replacement of laptops every 3 years instead of this rotational period that we've had going. The reason for that is just a lot easier on staff to have the same thing for everybody at the same time. With that in mind, this survey is trying to get at your preferences for laptops and how you use them or don't use them in the case of some senators. And also on the back, you'll notice that there's a possibility of going to a different laptop type, including some smaller laptops. I don't know how that would work for our fat fingers, but they do make smaller laptops that are about 4 pounds up to bigger laptops that are really substitutes for desks. So think about it and get your survey back in. One more thing, Mr. President. As you all know, the voter hotline is different than it used to be. Remember last year we would get, at the end of the day, we'd always get a tabulation of voter hotline issues about bills. That's all electronic now. That is on the web. And people out in Wyoming are using that, Mr. President. In fact, we're getting more response to the hotline than we've ever gotten. The problem is you guys aren't getting the hotline. And so there is a link, and you have an email that was sent to you today that links you to the hotline. And it's great because you can sort by bills, sort by dates, and you get all the sort by town. It's really pretty neat system. So I want you to try it out. And the password to get into the hotline is your first initial, then your last name, and then the password that accompanies your laptop. So let's all give that a try and see how you like the new hotline system, because people out there think you're getting these hotline messages, and you obviously are not. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. President, your Revenue Committee number 3 is going to meet Tuesday. That's tomorrow, February 23rd, 20 minutes after noon recess, up in room S-16, to take up House Bill 49, Manufacturing Sales and Use Tax Exemption, House Bill 101, engrossed, electricity generated from wind taxation, and if time permits, House Bill 29, engrossed, taxation of specified digital products.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, will meet tomorrow at 20 minutes after the noon recess starts, up in room S-14, our regular meeting room, to take up House Bill 18, Engrossed Aquatic Invasive Species 2, and House Joint Resolution 8, Engrossed Opposition to Northern Rockies Ecosystem Protection Act.
Senator Von Bladeren.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 8, Transportation and Military Affairs, will meet 10 minutes after adjournment today in room S13 to review bills, House Bill 24, Insurance Requirements for Newly Purchased Vehicles, House Bill 84, Engrossed Gold Star License Plates, and House Bill 27, Armed Forces License Plate Fees and Distribution. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, just as a matter of point of information, we'll begin our first discussion on Senate File 1 this afternoon in its first Committee of the Whole.
You've heard the motion. The Senate shall stand recess until 2 p.m. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senate is recessed until 2 p.m.